Greetings, it's Brother Steve again, Sound of Life Daily Inspiration. Yesterday we were looking at the first part of chapter 1 in Colossians and just seeing how Paul here is really trying to bring it together that Jesus Christ is our all in all. I was also looking a little bit through Ephesians and see some of the same wording, some of the same themes there coming out. It just seems like Paul here is really burdened that we do not stray from the simplicity of Christ, and that's what he's bringing out here in Colossians. We saw yesterday that all things were created by him, and all things were created for him, and then he also paid by his own life for all things to be redeemed back to him when Adam fell. So, you know, if that is not enough to tell us that Christ deserves our all in all, he is our all in all, and he deserves our whole life. He paid for it. First of all, he created us, and then he redeemed us. And so, we're going to continue here, look at some other things here in the second part of Colossians chapter 1. We ended in verse 20 in yesterday's devotion, where he says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven." And then verse 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." In the body of his flesh through death, "to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So here, verse 22, he says that to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, if that's not something to make us rejoice, I don't know what is. If we really stop and think about who we are, who we were without Christ, and then who we are with Christ, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. But he brings it back that it's all in him. It says, if ye continue in the faith, if we just believe that he is our all in all, if our total trust is in him, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. And so, you know, it's like a, you know, we're all guilty. It's like we all have committed these terrible, horrible crimes, and Jesus basically paid the price. He paid our debt, and we can stand before the judge and say, "I'm innocent," not because I haven't committed it, the crime, but because somebody else paid my debt, and therefore I can go free. And so let's continue. "Who now, I, Paul, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to dispensation of God, which is given to me, for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages, has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, and that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." So there again, he says, He's saying that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, the other thing that I've noticed already also about the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians, there's something that comes out there over and over, that he talks about this mystery. Verse 26 there, he says, even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Which reminds me of a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, or a passage there, a number of verses, where he talks about the same idea. And he says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom, he says, let's start in verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And then he says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then it goes into this, says, but as it is written, and then he quotes a verse, I think it's in Isaiah, if I'm not mistaken, Isaiah 64 maybe, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And, you know, many times we stop there and we think that this is talking about heaven. And, you know, we could apply it to heaven. I believe that's a reality, you know, we have not seen or heard or come into our heart. We are not able to perceive what is prepared, you know, even in the future for those who love him. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about something that because in verse 10 it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. He's talking about this mystery, these hidden things that God has prepared for them that love him, which in Isaiah is saying that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so here he's saying that, he's talking about that mystery, which was hidden in the ages past, but has been revealed to us, his saints, under the new covenant. And so here he talks about, then when we go back to here, verse 27 in Colossians again, chapter 1 in Colossians, he talks about, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is that mystery, that Jesus Christ is going to be in us. And we'll have some more of that later, but, you know, if Christ is in us and we are in Christ, it talks about someplace about being hidden in Christ. And when we have that reality, you know, in Ephesians, I didn't look up that verse, but I believe it's in Ephesians, it talks about being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's not talking about future. That's talking about now. That's talking about the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's talking about this mystery of, you know, Christ in us and us and of Christ in me and I in Christ, that we are hid in him. And when God looks at Jesus Christ, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I am hid within that phrase. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is the reality of my position in Christ. And that's this mystery that he's talking about. He continues to talk about the reality of this mystery. And he talks about, like I said in Ephesians, he talks about being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And again, that's not some future something that we're looking forward to. That is something that can be a reality in our lives now. That's the reality of the mystery of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And when we can grasp a hold of that, it takes away all condemnation, like it says in Romans chapter 8, I believe it is. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. Let's see if I can find that. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There it is again. Those who are in Christ Jesus, when we are in Christ, we are hid in him, and there is no condemnation. And in another place, I believe it's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So what he's saying here, and this is kind of hidden in here, you have to kind of read into this, but we believe that Jesus and the Father are one, and they have the same mind, the same understanding, the same goals, the same passions. And so here he's saying that as the Father hath loved me, speaking of Jesus, so have I loved you, speaking of us. So the question comes, how much does God love us? And the answer, according to that verse, is he loves us as much as he loves his own son. God loves us as much as he loves his own son, as his children. And that's something that I'm glad he made that so clear in that verse, because that's something, at least for me, was very hard to accept. Even after reading that verse, I had a hard time accepting that the fact that God loves me as much as he loves his Jesus. So, again, just bringing this whole thing back to Jesus Christ, and this is the heart of God, the heart of Paul, as he represents, as he speaks for God to us here, or writes this letter to the Colossians. This is his heart, that we would not stray from the simplicity of the gospel, or this mystery, Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that we keep him in that central place in our life. We don't lose that position. And we'll, in the following chapters, he'll have some practical applications to the reality of that. So we'll come back with some more later. God bless you, and continue in him.